Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's very own Eats.
We're on to episode 4 of Chicago's very own Eats. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Mike Piff. We just got back minutes ago from Revival Food Hall in the Loop. We're going to get to all of that in just a minute. The reason we ended up doing that is because at the end of last podcast, we teased that we were going to do a barbecue episode.
We did.
Sort of a short week for me because I'm headed to New Orleans on Thursday for the Final Four. And we have a couple of guests that we're working on and we want to make sure we do the whole barbecue thing right. But we were like, smoke barbecue is inside Revival Food Hall.
So we got our barbecue fix.
Yes, and that got us thinking like, hey, let's just go get some barbecue and why not kind of do a food hall type episode mixed in with some other stuff. So we're going to get into that a little bit. We'll talk about what's there, what we liked, what we tried. I think we do have to start with the biggest news of the day, Mike. Bigger than Will Smith smacking Chris Rock in the
face.
Way
bigger than that.
I mean, this sent a shockwave through White Sox Twitter.
Mostly my own Twitter.
Yeah, and my own Twitter. So, all right, first of all, and we'll have an opportunity to do this, I'm sure, because the White Sox haven't done, like, their new food menu thing yet, where typically they'll invite, like, the media out and writers to take a look and sample some of the new food at Guaranteed Rate Field. Obviously, the past 2 years have been a little bit different, right, with the pandemic, but previous years, they'd bring you out, the chefs would come out. It was awesome. They would just feed all of us, and we got to try all the new food. The big news at involving the White Sox is that their run with Goose Island has come to an end.
Not just Goose Island, though. Revolution Brewery and a whole bunch of local breweries.
Right. Now, remember in 2005, Mike, what happened with the White Sox?
A World Series?
They won the World Series. Yeah, who was the official beer supplier of the Chicago White Sox in 2005?
Is this how you're going to defend it?
Listen, because I'm pulling at all angles here. I love Goose Island. Who doesn't? There's a beer for everybody in their lineup of delicious beers.
Including a White Sox Golden Ale.
Yeah, which was one of the coolest beer cans that we've seen in a while, right? Like, it had the White Sox logo and the design, and the boxing was very cool. I love Goose Island. This is nothing against Goose Island. The South Side is Miller Lite territory. I think if you took a poll of every White Sox fan out there, especially the ones from the South Side, they would probably tell you they are a Miller Lite drinker. If you go to walk through the tailgates of a White Sox game, typically Southsiders are drinking Miller Lite. To me, it just feels right when the Sox and Miller Lite are partners. That's not a shot at Goose. I wish we could have both in a perfect world, Goose Island and Miller Lite.
You know, and I respect that, and I respect the taste buds of my fellow Sox fans. Now, this is where I'm coming from. So while the White Sox weren't very good, you needed to find reasons to bring people to the ballpark. One place they started was with their food options, which they did a great job with, changing up the menu every year, doing something crazy and fun that made, you know, someone like me, a ballpark foodie, want to like list out the different stands, try something different every ball game. Right. Then they got into the craft beer game, which for someone like me who loves craft beer, trying new things and also trying local beers, there was a great representation there. They also had a cool behind the right field bullpen was the Craft Cave,
which was the only spot up until now where you could find Miller Lite in the ballpark.
That's actually true.
You wanted
because they wanted to give you variety.
I mean, it's also, and I understand the whole craft beer craze and all that, but like, do you go to a ball game to try craft beer? You can go to literally any bar in Chicago and get a million different beers.
You can get something for any mood you have. There's the summer-type beers, which they would have there. Goose Island had their own. But I'm going back to the Craft Cave because it was cool as hell. You would walk
fun.
In.
It's,
you would
and
walk
it's in, not going anywhere.
You walk into the door, and there is a wall lined with coolers of different beers to try. All local. So now that area is going to be called the Lining Kugels something. It's a Leinkugel's thing that they're going to be doing there, which is fine. I like Leinkugel's. You know, I enjoy all my friends who have weddings in Wisconsin always include some really good Wisconsin-only, you know, Leinkugel's. I just don't want this to turn into Miller Park South.
I'm a Miller Lite drinker.
I know. Yeah, that's okay.
And like, if
I don't judge you.
It's great that ballparks have grown to where it's not just hot dogs, popcorn, and nachos, right? You can get all kinds of crazy stuff at all ballparks throughout the league, and really in all sports, right? It's not, you were just at a Blackhawks game telling me how about you get a barbecue there, right? You can get grill and go tacos at the United Center.
You can get honey butter fried chicken at the United Center.
And you can get pizza and you get whatever you want. So I think that's great. But I think, like, at its core, when you go to a game, like, it's still just give me, like, a Miller Lite and a hot dog or a Polish and a Miller Lite. Like, that's perfect for me at a ball game.
I'm happy for you, Kevin. This is going to be a great summer for you. It's okay.
I hope you're okay, Mike. You guys are all upset about the craft beers leaving the ballpark.
Well, also, in the press release.
As if you can't get those anywhere else.
Where you... so, when you... You know, look at their press release and say, "Oh, well, they'll have craft beer options." What are your craft beer options?
I'm sure there are going to be plenty of options for you guys.
Because Keystone is not a craft beer,
So are you going to leave? Are you not going to go to the ballpark?
I'm
going
to go to the ballpark. I love the White Sox.
I didn't know you were this passionate about it.
I am, you know, and it was also something fun for me to bring friends that aren't Sox fans to the game. And they would. That was the first thing. That was my first selling point. Was check out these awesome craft beer options. But I mean, again, that's just me. That's the fun part about this whole thing is beer is subjective, food is subjective, your ballpark experience is subjective. Yeah. So, and I'm sure you know when we go and we see these new areas that they're going to have set up, like they're going to have to change out that Revolution Tap Room, which was also pretty awesome.
Yeah, that could do some work.
Well, that's probably going to get some. I think that's where this seltzer
thing is.
For some people, you know.
So it looks like the Miller Lite Landing, I'm guessing that's where the Goose Island section was. The Leinkugel's Craft Lodge, which I'm guessing was the Craft Cave. And then the Vizzy View Bar. So yeah, that's probably where the Revolution spot was down
so
the
you
left
got,
field
you
line.
Got your corners taken care of here. You know, and I'll get over it fast. Just, you know, we did say that we would react to the foodie news in Chicago, and that was something that was a little polarizing for some of us.
I think it's tough to argue that Revolution and Goose Island like aren't great beers and did add a whole lot to the ballpark. But to me, it just feels right when Miller Lite's at Sox Park. It feels right to me.
You know, and you also call it Sox Park, which is wonderful. I love that.
Like,
so,
you know, the Bears and Miller Lite have had a long-standing relationship.
Bears and RC Cola have also had a long-standing relationship.
Right. So it'd be kind of weird if that ever moved on. But I think overall, it's a good thing.
I'm mad about it right now. By the next episode, I'm sure I will have cooled off. Don't worry.
I hope so.
And you know what? Brooks Boyer, please invite us. I'll be totally fine once we get over to try out the new food items and beer options. I respect it. I said it. I'm just saying, as a craft beer fan, it was tough.
Yeah, I know.
T-U-F-F.
Tough day for the craft beer White Sox fans. Okay, so that was the major White Sox news today. Not really all the major news. They made a roster move. This is a food podcast. We don't have to get into baseball stuff of it. Okay, we want to get into what have you eaten recently? Because typically when we started these podcasts, it's like, what have you had outside of the food hall in which we just had? But like anything good that's stood out to
you
recently?
Yes, over the weekend, Amy and I ordered in from Fire and Wine. It's one of our favorite Glen Ellen spots. Good mix of Italian, some American food. Good, you know, it's a fun place. And it's exactly what it says. There's fire and there's wine. Really good wine. So we brought in some arancini balls. Nice. I don't know if you've had those before. Risotto in, you know, fried balls and amazing pizza. Like kind of that Neapolitan style pizza. So we had some pepperoni. We had a four cheese pizza. We were good. You, sir, I was looking at your social media and you made yourself some amazing chicken parm.
Yeah, last weekend was a great weekend of eating. We had some orzo and some shrimp I was telling you about Friday night. And then Saturday, I picked up some Newski's Cherrywood Smoked Bacon.
I get excited whenever I see new skis on the menu.
Yeah. And I went to Italy to get some fresh mozzarella because they make it daily there for the chicken parm. And I'm walking through and I'm like, oh, I could have some bacon tomorrow morning. So Friday night I picked up that and we had some bacon and eggs Saturday morning. And then I went all in on the chicken parm. I was craving chicken parm. We've talked a little bit about chicken parm so far on this podcast. I love Club Lagos. It was restaurant quality, Mike. Trust me. But the big part of it, you know, I did the whole, you know, flour, egg, and then into the breadcrumbs. The breadcrumbs, I got plain breadcrumbs, put in some oregano, salt and pepper, and then freshly grinded Parmesan right into that. And then I kind of mixed that together, and it gave it this great crunchy crust. I put it on the cast iron in oil, a little bit of butter around the edges of each cut of chicken. That gave it a perfect crisp around the edges. And then I made homemade sauce, and once you kind of get the chicken fried, you're good to go. You just put the cheese on top, a little bit of sauce around that, hit it under the broil. Suffered a severe wound on my right hand here, Mike, as you can see.
Yeah, bandaged up here. I was a little nervous for you.
I was going for the perfect broil on the top rack, and the skin just happened to meet the top broil. So it was outstanding. And then I went to Avli, which is Lou Canellis's. He has multiple locations, including one in River North. We went there for brunch, and it was kind of this egg bruschetta toast thing that was so good. It was almost like scrambled eggs on a piece of toast, but there was a lot of other ingredients mixed in with the eggs, like some sort of red sauce, tomato, and then a salad on the side. And it was outstanding. So overall, just a phenomenal weekend of eating.
I got to try a Lou Canellis spot.
It's great. The Lincoln Park one is very fun. He's got a new one not too far from us here at the radio station. Of course, the River North location as well. So we'll get out to Avli, but it was a great brunch. So I'm glad we were both able to eat very well over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And let's get to the food hall. So we started again. We were going to do some barbecue, but we were still craving some barbecue. We're going to do a full-blown barbecue episode. So we went to the food hall, and we got smoked barbecue.
Smoke barbecue. That's with a Q.
It's with a Q.
For those at home keeping score.
Smoke.
Yeah. And first off, Revival Food Hall is a fantastic place. If you got a taste for anything, they've got it there. I'll go through the list later. But, you know, are you a big food hall guy, Kevin?
I wouldn't say I'm a big, not like against it. I just, you know, the ones, there's two major ones in the loop. Would you consider the French market at
French market? Definitely. You know, I have a quick story about the French market.
Okay.
So my first date with my wife, she was coming in from the Quad Cities, and I wanted to give her a full Chicago experience. So she took a train into Ogilvie, you know, halfway from like North Aurora area. And first thing we did, and she said she doesn't like to eat on first dates. Well, of course, I took her to the French Market, where we tried things at about five different stands, including some amazing dessert. Now, this was just to kick off to a 12-hour date, which worked out well for me, you know, gestures to his wedding ring. And, yeah, it's great for just a fun hangout with somebody or a couple people. You share a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And Chicago's got a bunch of great food halls. There's one on Wells that's fantastic. Astor Hall is over here on Michigan Avenue, part of the Bloomingdale's Mall and everything. But Revival, that's right outside Theater District, which is a great call when they have their normal hours before you go to a show, whether, you know, you were going to see Hamilton or anything else in that area. It's right outside on Clark, and great stuff there.
So Revival, we both immediately went to the smoked barbecue. I got the smoked turkey, which was fantastic, with a side of coleslaw. And you went with the brisket.
I tried
a little bit. The brisket was like butter. That was so good.
Yes, it was. It was the perfect blend of lean and fatty. Like, it was just right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I say about barbecue is, like, if you go to a spot and they don't do a brisket very well, it worries me about
it. Like, what's the point?
It's like, that's, you know, that should be your target item on the menu. And if they do it well, you got to figure they do everything else well, because brisket can be very difficult. It can turn into a, you know, a leather shoe. It can be undercooked. It can be dry and all that. If you can get a very good brisket, I trust that everything else on the menu is also very good.
I mean, and it's a smoke stand. It's not like the sit-down full restaurant. So if you can pull that off at a stand, You're in for a great experience the rest of the way. The sauces were really good. You tried Texas.
I had the Texas and the Memphis barbecue. The Memphis barbecue, I'm going to have to get a bottle of that.
It was
assuming
amazing.
They sell a bottle of it at their storefront. The Memphis barbecue was great, and then they did kind of this Texas sauce, which was also very good. So Mike got the brisket. I got the smoked turkey. And then we also got some empanadas.
Yes, we got some empanadas, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, it's called Lito's Empanadas. I love empanadas. I could get them from a food truck. I can get them from a restaurant. They're always a good call, you know, in my book. Sometimes you're not going to find the ones you want because the really popular ones run out really fast. But we went with what they recommended for us.
Yeah.
One was a pastor, el pastor, and potatoes.
That was phenomenal.
That was amazing.
That was really good.
And, you know, we both got that one. I got a chorizo and cheese that was also fantastic. Went with this great kind of, you know, it was like a medium sauce that came with it. And you had the spinach one, too. How was that?
It was good. I mean, you know, if you're looking for a non-meat option, it was a spinach and cheese. And it was, you know, the empanadas were fresh. I think going there when we did, which is about 11, 11:15, it was everything felt very fresh there. And
yes.
I'm sure it's like that often, but it's, you know, those empanadas tasted fresh.
They were fantastic.
Like they were fresh out of the kitchen. So was there anything else there that caught your eye that you're like, dang, I wish we should have went there?
You know, I thought about, I was full after what we had.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, some of the other places that I love to try that are, you know, have been there for a little while, like the Fat Shallot.
Yeah.
They make great sandwiches like grilled cheeses. They have a buffalo chicken sandwich. They have a BLT that's really good. Their fries are great. And if you ever see their food truck, go there first. Their stuff runs out real quick. Another one, I think it was Bianca's Bodega had the burgers. Looked really good.
And there was a couple of construction workers sitting there, probably after a late shift overnight or something. And if you've got construction workers sitting there,
probably pretty
the
good.
Burger, yeah, you feel comfortable about it. You know, it's like seeing them at Billy Goat getting a burger for lunch.
Danke, that's another sandwich place, more German oriented for, you know, those who sprechen the Deutsch. They've got a whole bunch of things that, you know, again, if you're in the mood for something, you'll probably find it at a Chicago food hall. And I grabbed an espresso on the way out, which was a really good call because
it was
the middle of the day.
By you.
Yes.
It was chilly out there. By the way, you know what's also included in a new beverage options at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Tell me.
The Zoa energy drink co-founded by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, my gosh.
How many ballparks have a beverage in the park? That comes from Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
If you have a deal with Molson Coors, maybe.
Damn right. any of your thoughts on the food hall or any other things? I think next week with baseball starting, Mark Carmen, my good pal from WGN Radio and Fansided, used to be a beer vendor.
Oh, there are so many stories I want to hear now.
And beer vendors, we have felt for them over the past couple years because they haven't been around the ballpark. I'm hoping that this year they do return. I mean, I think at Wrigley they had some last year.
They had a couple.
I don't remember, but now like, it was not like what it was before the pandemic, and you know, a lot of people were frustrated with that. You can understand why, you know, that all happened. But baseball's back. I love Mark Carmen. He was a vendor. At Wrigley for
at Wrigley?
Sure.
Yeah, did he ever do the crossover? Because sometimes you see those
guys.
Yeah,
you see the same guys.
That's the thing about a great beer vendor is they bring their own personality to it.
Yeah.
And they bring it to both sides of town. It's a blast. Right. There's the guy that sings, you know, who's a very good, like, improvisational karaoke guy. So, or the very rough voice, Miller. Oh, he's coming back probably now.
I hope so.
If he's still around, the Miller Lite guy.
Yeah, I hope so. So anyways, I figured next week with baseball returning, why not we talk a little baseball and talk a little bit of beer vendor, and we can get Carm's thoughts on this rather dramatic news that hit the Chicago sports scene today about Miller Coors.
He's probably going to make fun of me so bad. Well, you know what? We have a mutual friend, Courtney, who is on my side on this. So, you know, I'm sure he's seen all aspects of the reaction. We also have your hometown this week, which happens at the last week of every month, where we go to a different town to showcase what makes that town unique to the rest. And we were up in Libertyville this month, and I went into, I want to say, 5 different restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
want to tease any couple real quick?
So, yes, I'd love to do so. Sorry. Bagel by the Books. I was trying to remember the name. Bagel by the Books on Milwaukee. All these places are on Milwaukee. It's basically their main street. Is a couple years old, amazing breakfast sandwich there. Mickey Finn's is a classic. Mm-hmm. They have incredible burgers. They're always rotating their burgers too. Like, I remember the last time I was there, I had a jalapeno popper burger, came back, it wasn't there, but there was a bunch of other new, you know, great things there. O'Toole's has some of the best wings in the area. Stopped in there during the Big Ten tournament. Had to watch Illinois lose when that mm-hmm. happened, but I ducked in during that. Firkin, amazing beer bar and great food there too. I think what I'm going to do is we do have a Your Hometown page, but I'm going to post some photos that I took of the places I stopped in, and I'll have a full gallery for you on our Chicago's Very Own Eats page, which we're getting a lot of traffic to. I'm excited to see it. I love seeing it. So we're going to be giving you a little bit more than just the audio episodes. We'll, you know, Kevin's going to be heading out to Louisiana. He's going to New Orleans. We'll share some of the photos he takes there as well. I have to mention one more place, this 60-year-old ice cream stand, soft serve place called Dairy Dream. And, I mean, you go up, it does look like it's 65 years old, but it tastes amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Again, yeah, I'm going to New Orleans, and I've got a bunch of good meals lined up, and I can't wait. So I'll bring some stuff back. We'll have Carmen on next week, and eventually we will get the guests we're trying to get and do a full-blown barbecue episode on Chicago's Very Own Eats. This is 4 episodes now. We're cranking these things out.
We had 3 in our first week. I think these will be a little bit more like 1 or 2 tops if there's something that comes up. But we really appreciate everyone for following along. The feedback's been awesome. And keep your recommendations coming. We want to try new stuff, and we also want to hear about places you've been. So, you know, let us know on the Twitters. Kevin is kpowell720, and I'm mike_piff03 there.
Maybe you'll get a Goose Island. Maybe get a 312 now that we're done with the episode.
You're gonna get a 312. I'm gonna go harder with the Bourbon County.
I think you should. Yeah, go get something.
I've got about 5 different Bourbon Counties lined up for me probably for the rest of the week.
Subscribe, review, rate, do all that good stuff. I'm Kevin Powell. He's Mike Piff. This was episode 4 of Chicago's Very Own Eats.